exist. I mean, imagine if you had to multiply out with Roman numerals. It's bad enough. I got guys that can't multiply out in Arabic numerals, but in Roman numerals it would be impossible. There's no way to deal, and that invention, that one little invention alone. They were great astronomers because of the fact that they adopted a purely lunar calendar. The Muslim calendar is only a moon calendar, and a lunar calendar requires a great deal of calculation. They were astronomers. They invented tools for astronomy, how to measure things. They, because of the fact that they were great warriors, so we know that war is the great impetus of all technology. I don't know whether the Star Wars laser beam thing is going to work or not, but you can be certain that they're going to make better typewriters because of it. You can be certain that a lot will be learned that will find different uses. Because unfortunately, most of the major advances in human technology over the centuries have been either because of war or byproducts of war. I mentioned it to someone today that I hold that that's the pshat that it says in it that that Yitzchak's brocha to Esav was al char b'chotichye, you will live by your sword. So it's not only that you live by your sword, you go to war every day. Even when you're not going to war, you're living by your sword. Right? America spends trillions of dollars on defense. We live by the sword. That's the blessing. And the blessing is ironic at most, but that's the way the world is. So the Arabs, the Muslims, because they were such fierce warriors and always engaged in war, so they made great technological advances. The study of wounds, of war, the Arabs became doctors, especially experts in healing cuts and amputations and all the terrible, gory mess of war, especially war of that time. And therefore, advances were made in the study of medicine, and a doctor, the position of a doctor under the Arabs was lifted from being like a witch doctor or a quack or a soothsayer or a magician, which even in the Roman Empire he was little more than that, to the level of a professional such as we have in our time today. That was a contribution of the Arabs. The Arabs love words. The Arabic language is very wordy. If you're in Israel and you watch Jordanian television, you'll notice that, you know, it takes them like 4 hours for one program. Or if somebody comes and sings a song, they don't sing the song once, they sing it 40 times, 50 times, till you finally get the message. Yeah, you learn the lyrics. But that's part of the culture. Words are very important. Not only are words many times, it's more than the reality. And that's why they, in good conscience, fool themselves, say things that they know are not true. And one of the problems that the Arab armies have had over the centuries is that nobody tells the truth. Because you're taught to speak, the main thing is what you say. So if you say you won, you won. Even if it has nothing to do with reality. But because of their love of words, they became poets, authors. The literature of the Arab world, the 6th, the 7th, the 8th century, it's the only literature in the world. We have vestiges of it. The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam is probably the most famous, but there are other vestiges of the type of poetry and word plays, puns, stories. All that became part of the Muslim culture and became part of the Jewish culture also. It's not an accident, and we'll discuss it next time, God willing, that this now begins the age of the piyutim in Jewish prayer, of writing poems to insert.